Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu, for giving me this chance to be among so many illustrious personalities today. And I thank all of you for coming. It is truly an honor and a fortune to be in this holy place. Wherever people are gathered together to inspire one another and discuss and chant about the highest subject matter of awakening love of God, that is a holy place. There's a beautiful verse that explains that Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. And it is also said, Tattha tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. Krishna says, wherever devotees are chanting my names, discussing me, I am there. So that means wherever we are together, inspiring one another in devotion to the Lord, that is Vrindavan, that is the spiritual world, holy place. Today, I strolled through the Muir Woods with my very dear, beloved godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu. How many of you have been to Muir Woods? Magnificent redwood trees there. Many lessons by studying the redwood trees. But we took prasad in the grass just close to Muir Woods. And as we were finishing, somebody packed for us some really nice sweet balls, very organic, natural, with apricots and coconuts and dates. And Vaisheshika Prabhu knows all the ingredients, but it was very nice. They were about this big. And as we were, this is a good story. It's not the usual story in a Bhagavad Gita. Samogalila Prabhu, Harivo, wonderful to see you. But as we were really having a nice experience with these sweet balls, about 12 feet in front of us, out from a hole in the ground about this big, the head of a groundhog came up. And he was just, at the beginning, he was just putting his nose up. About 5 or 6 times, just putting his nose up, about every 5 seconds, like just checking out to see what's happening. It was a really sunny day, too. And I was thinking that groundhog is so much like us. We become so accustomed to darkness that we're afraid to come into the light. Yes? We become so accustomed to our comforts in darkness that even when we know where the light is and how to come out, isn't it like that sometimes being a devotee? We know where we're supposed to go. We know what we want. But still, the light, we don't want to give up that hole in the darkness. So I was studying the groundhog, doing a psychological study and trying to relate it to those who are on the spiritual path. And soon he came up for his eyes and he was kind of looking around. And I said to Vaisheshika Prabhu, I said, this groundhog, let's give him prasad. I mean, we're eating prasad and he should have prasad too. And I was, because I know most things I'm not good at, But one thing I'm really not good at is I'm not a good shot when it comes to throwing things. So I said to Vaisheshika Prabhu, I said, why don't you throw a sweet ball to that groundhog? And the groundhog, right when I said that, he went back in his hole. So just a little hole like this, about 12 feet in front of us. I couldn't believe what he did. Not the groundhog, Vaisheshika. He took a sweet ball. And he threw it. It was about as far as where I am from Stephanie. Yes? Steph. About that far. And he threw it. And it went whoop. And then right in the hole. Yes? It went right in the hole. I've never seen that before. I mean, even the best golfer was a hole in one. And amazingly, the groundhog didn't come out for a long time. But then when he did come out, he stuck his head completely out and was... Eyes were glistening, he was smiling. So I was really impressed by this. This is because if you really care about someone, if you really feel compassionate to help someone, to give someone Krishna, Krishna empowers you with the ability to do so. To repeat the proper message, to have the proper disposition, these things are all helpful. You know, it's very important. If we want to help someone, we have to give them the right thing to help them. But what really empowers us is we really care about the person. We really feel compassion toward that person. And when we want to be an instrument of God and we really want to help, then it's amazing how God empowers us. And I was meditating on that. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he has such a deep, compassionate heart. He not only knows the philosophy, he knows so many kirtans, he knows so many verses. He's such an inspiring person. But he reaches people's hearts with all of that because he really cares. When he's distributing Prabhupada's books, it's not just for the money. He really cares to give somebody something invaluable, the gift of love of God, the gift of bhakti. So I saw with my own eyes how he's attracted so many little groundhogs to this temple. Like me, I'm one of them. But that other groundhog in a groundhog body, he just wanted to give him prasad. Prasad means mercy. He wanted to give that groundhog mercy so much. It wasn't just his skill. It's not he's a golfer or a basketball player. He's a loving instrument of God. He wanted so bad, he threw it. And right in the hole. And the groundhog was down there feasting. Feasting. And then he came up, eyes sparkling. Yes, he was intoxicated. And I don't want to tell you the rest of the story, but I should. I was thinking, let me see how much I really care. And I threw a sweet ball. You know, the hole was about 12 feet away, and I missed by about 12 feet. Yes? Something like that. So it was a very enlightening experience. But on this subject of how to receive and give the grace of God, I would like to tell a story. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Chaitanya, is Krishna, or God Himself, who descends into this world to not only give love of God, but to show by His example how to receive it. So 500 years ago, from this year, the story I'm about to tell took place. He accepted sannyas so that he could be totally free to go everywhere and anywhere to give the priceless gift of bhakti to the world. And it was 500 years ago that he left his home in Jagannath Puri for a tour of South India, where he walked by foot for over 2 years. And everywhere he went, he was chanting God's holy names, performing kirtan. And because of the love, the compassion, the all-attractive qualities that he was exhibiting, anywhere he went, even on the roadsides, chanting kirtan, when people heard him, they would chant with him. And as soon as they would chant with him, he would become so obliged to them for chanting God's names, for accepting God's names, his gift. He would lovingly embrace them. And while they were chanting and being embraced by the absolute truth, the all-loving Lord, their hearts would be flooded with love of God. And in the process, all of their egos, all of their anarthas, all unwanted qualities, were washed away by the flood of that love. They became perfected human beings. And he would tell them, go home and give this message to others. And those people would go to their villages, and anyone who saw them now, they were illustrious, enlightened sages, men, women, children, whoever they were. When they went home, people said, you know, what happened to you? And they'd be going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And because he was electrified by the mercy of the Lord, that electric current was manifesting through them, and anybody who saw him or her, their hearts flooded with love of God, and they were chanting. And anyone who saw him who went to another village, the same thing happened. That's a very interesting backdrop. It's all right, in Bombay they have the same music. So in this way, he was creating a flood of bhakti wherever he went. And then according to the scripture, he stopped at a particular town, a small town. It's actually a village where there is a temple of Kurmadev. Very ancient. How many of you have been to Kurmakshetra? Have you been? We once took a couple thousand devotees there. It was very beautiful. It's on the banks of a very, very tranquil river. And there is a story about a very great saint, one of the greatest acharyas or teachers of all time. His name was Ramanujacharya. Even to this day, he lived almost 1,000 years ago. But even to this day, he has millions and millions of followers, tens and millions of followers. But he went to Puri, and he saw the worship of the deity in the temple, And he saw that things were being done in a very spontaneous and unorthodox way. And he was trying to explain to them that really when you're worshiping the Lord on the altar, you know, there should be some, you know, some process. And this is the process given in the scriptures. So he was explaining it very lovingly and compassionately. And he went to sleep. And when he went to sleep, Lord Jagannath appeared to him. Lord Jagannath is in the temple in Puri. And he said, I'm very happy with their spontaneous love. Why are you bringing in all these formalities? He appeared to him in a dream. And in the dream, he picked up, this is God, he picked up Ramanujacharya and threw him. And Ramanujacharya in his dream was flying. He didn't know where he was. And all of a sudden he landed and he woke up and he was in a different place. He wasn't in Puri. He was in Kurukshetra. And the deity there, or the temple there, was very much, it was a very ancient, thousands of years old, but it was neglected. So he revived the worship and he brought so many of his disciples there to renovate the temple and to make beautiful offerings. And in this way, Lord Jagannath wanted this temple to flourish. So he sent Ramanujacharya there through this most extraordinary conveyance. So Lord Chaitanya came to that temple. And like everywhere, he just was feeling such love of God in his heart and he wanted to share with the world through kirtan. There are different levels of doing kirtan or chanting God's name. When great personalities who have actually connected to that eternal flow of grace and prema or love that is dormant within our hearts, such persons, when they chant the kirtan, they are sharing through sound vibration their ecstatic love with the world by giving God, who's not different than the name. So for those who don't have love, kirtan is the way of removing all the egoistic obstacles and uncovering that love. And for those who do have love, kirtan is a way of expressing, sharing, and distributing that love to everyone and anyone. Because when a person who really has bhakti, loves God, chants the holy names, God is so much alive and visible and manifesting through the names of the Lord. So the Lord was chanting and he was dancing, his beautiful golden form. Hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people were coming from the village of Kurukshetra and from other villages and neighboring villages. They were all coming just to see this kirtan, just to hear this kirtan. And as everyone was gathered, hour after hour after hour, the Lord induced them all to be chanting the holy names, all to be dancing in transcendental ecstasy, and they were all flooded by the Lord's compassion, by his love. And all their material desires and all their egoistic propensities were washed away by the flood of the Lord's love, and they all became perfected saints, pure devotees of the Lord. Now, whoever wants a kirtan like that to end? Finally, after many, many, many hours, torrents of tears from everybody's eyes, tears of devotion, you know, the priest offered the Lord some garlands, and then the Lord stopped the kirtan. And a very, very exalted man, a Brahmin, it's called the Kurma Brahmin, he asked the Lord, please come to my home. And Lord Chaitanya went to his home. When he arrived, Kurma Brahmin, with his whole family, his wife and his sons and his daughters, they all welcomed the Lord and washed his feet. They all drank the water. Now, some of you Americans may think, what's drinking water that washes somebody's feet? That doesn't sound very sanitational. But it's very therapeutic, actually, because the Lord's feet are divine. It's a way of humbling ourselves before the Lord. And then he sat Lord Chaitanya down and gave him so much nice prasad or food that the family cooked. The Lord ate it. And after giving him nice comfortable sitting place, giving him nice food, serving him in so many ways, then the same Kurma Brahman with folded palms and a very humble heart, he spoke to the Lord. He said, oh my Lord, your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. And now those same feet are in my home. I cannot understand my great fortune. It is indescribable. Today, my family, my birth, and all of my riches have become glorified because you've come to my house to accept our service. Now, through this, we can understand that he was quite a wealthy man. He had a loving family, everything. But not only his family now, but for all generations before and generations for the future, everything was glorified, he was saying, because my Lord, you have come here to accept my service. Then he said, I have one request. Please, let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of the misery of materialistic life. I want to leave this home, leave my occupation, leave my family, and go with you. Lord Chaitanya heard him and then responded, but before I tell you his response, I'll give some little explanation of what the Kurma Brahman was saying. The waves of the misery of materialistic life, so poetically presented. Sometimes this material existence is compared to an ocean. And trying to cross over the ocean of material existence is very, very, very difficult. But the scripture says if one takes shelter of the Lord, then the vast ocean of material existence becomes reduced in significance to the quantity of water contained within the puddle of a calf's hoofprint. We can just walk right over it. That is the power of the Lord's grace. But without that grace, whatever endeavors we make to try to solve the problems of this world, it's like trying to swim across the ocean. Even if you're a champion swimmer, how far you can get swimming across the Pacific Ocean? Has anyone ever done it? You know, some famous people swam across that little creek called the English Channel, but the Pacific Ocean is too wide, too deep. But compared to the ocean of material existence, the Pacific Ocean is just a little mud puddle. Material ocean, it's vast. So we're trying to solve the problems of life. problems of health, the social problems of injustices, pollutions, the problem with anxiety. All of these problems are like waves. And there are unlimited waves in this ocean of material existence. And however powerful we may be, however wealthy we may be, however influential we may be, can we stop old age, disease, and death? Has there ever been a time in our recorded history where there are not wars and exploitation? History is practically one war after the other. I remember when I went to school. It was actually a long time ago. When I was in grammar school, we had a social studies class with American history. And I remember every chapter of American history was categorized according to a war. Yes? There was the Revolutionary War, and there was the Spanish-American War, and there was the Civil War, and there was World War I and World War II and Korean War, and while I was in school, there was the Vietnam War. So it wasn't just something of the past. Has anyone been able to solve that in this ocean of material existence? But when we take shelter of the Lord, by the Lord's grace, we can easily cross over this ocean of material existence in our own life. And we can help others to do so also, because we have something, we can inspire them to also connect to that divine grace. So the Kurma Brahma understood this. Here, the Lord, His grace is with me. I want to go with you, because the waves of miseries of this materialistic life is causing me so much problem, and I can't get out of it. So I go with you. Lord Chaitanya said, "Do not ever speak this way again. Better you remain at home with your wife and your children and your occupation. Remain at home and simply chant the names of God." Chant the names of God and access the love within your heart. And then instruct your family members, your friends, and whoever you meet in such a way that they can make that connection. Share the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam with others. And in this way, it's very simple. You don't have to change your social status. You don't have to change your occupation. You don't have to change your location. All you have to do is just chant, connect, and be a guru. Yari deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara goi guru hai tare desh. In this way, by simply connecting to the holy name and sharing that divine gift with others, you can be guru for the whole land. And this was Lord Chaitanya's message to all the women, to all the men of all ages, of all races. It's a standing instruction. It's a standing opportunity for everyone, for all ages. We can all be gurus. We don't have to think about all the formalities and all that stuff that may or may not be, but we can be gurus by inspiring others to love God by our example. Then Lord Chaitanya told the Kurma Brahman, if you just follow this instruction I've just given you, then materialistic life cannot obstruct your spiritual progress, even while living at home. And if you just follow these principles, then I will be here with you. We will always be together, and you will see me. Seeing God is not about going somewhere. Seeing God is about pleasing God. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Do not try to see Krishna." Now that sounds kind of contradictory, doesn't it? Here is the Acharya, the great guru, who's trying to give Krishna to the world. He says, "Do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he's happy to see you. Try to serve Radharani in such a way that she's happy to see you." And when Radharani and Krishna are pleased to see our sincerity, our intentions, our devotion, then they reveal themselves to us. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Daivarati Yoshi Vilokayanti. That when one's eyes are decorated with the mascara of love, then we can see Krishna everywhere. Because Krishna reveals himself according to our love. Ye yata mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyam. And Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, writes, this was the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere he went. He was meeting thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He would come to a village, he would be invited to a home, he would meet so many people, he gave them the same message. You don't have to leave your home. You don't have to leave your family. You don't have to leave your career. Srila Prabhupada explains, whether one is a medical practitioner or an engineer or a farmer or a housewife or a teacher or a swami, whatever your situation, you don't have to change that. You just have to change your heart. That's the only change required. Changing it from an exploitative, selfish condition to one of always remembering Krishna and selflessly serving Krishna and sharing that gift of Krishna with others. Srila Prabhupada explains, if in a family, the wife, the husband, everyone is in this mode, then the home becomes Vrindavan. The home is the spiritual world. There's no need to leave such a home. Transform the home. That was the Lord's message wherever he traveled. He left the Kurma Brahman's house that night after talking all night, or at least the major part of the night, he was giving this lesson to Kurma Brahman. Then he rested for some time, and in the morning he left. And guess what? The Kurma Brahman followed him. He followed him a long distance. He wasn't willing to go home. And the Lord smiled and sent him home. So he went back home and followed the Lord's instructions and was seeing the Lord in his service to the Lord. And his wife was seeing the Lord through her service to the Lord. The whole family was with Krishna. That night, some distance away, the news of Lord Chaitanya's being in the Kurma Brahman's house reached the ears of a person named Vasudev. He was extremely diseased. Vasudev had a advanced, highly developed and contagious condition of leprosy. Have any of you ever met a leper? If you come to India, you will meet many lepers, perhaps. They have no fingers. They have no toes. Usually they have no nose. When it's advanced, their skin is rotting, shriveled. It's a horrible disease. And Vasudev's, his entire body was so degenerated and decomposed by this leprosy that there were thousands of living worms living in his flesh, eating him away. And the smell of his body was absolutely obnoxious to most people. And he wasn't even allowed to really be with society because of his condition. But he was so pure in heart and so compassionate. Now, before I tell you what he did, I warn you, don't try to imitate him. But try to emulate the spirit of his exalted position. When any of these living worms eating his body away would fall out from his body onto the ground, Vasudev, with love and compassion for that worm, would carefully pick it up and place it in the exact location that it fell from and put him back in his body. A few years ago, I was with our very, very dear and loving godbrother, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. He was dying of melanoma cancer. Now, it is our duty, according to scripture and according to basic human sense, to try to preserve and keep our body as healthy as possible. Because after all, the body is a temple of God. I have an old friend named Gary, and we were both skinny little counterculture guys back in the 60s. And we went traveling around and became sadhus in India. It's a long story. But I hadn't seen him for 18 years, we had no communication. I had no idea where he was. It's a long supernatural story. But ultimately, we met each other. And, you know, I'm still a little skinny guy. I have less hair, but but when I saw him, you know, his arm was bigger than me. Not exactly, but figuratively, not literally. He was a bodybuilding regional champion in California. And he was so expert. He became a lawyer because he wanted to follow Mahatma Gandhi's footsteps. And Mahatma Gandhi was a lawyer. But then after he became a lawyer, he got involved in all this corporate stuff and everything, and somebody said, "Why don't you be a trainer at the Malibu Gym?" So he became a trainer at the Malibu Gym. So we were talking for some time, you know, about old times and catching up. We knew each other since we were about 9 years old. And he said to me, he said, "How could we still be friends? We have nothing in common." He said, "You're my whole life, because I'm a physical trainer. My whole life is to convince people that if you have a strong, healthy body, you will be happy. And your whole life is telling people that you're not a body." You're not your body. You can't be happy with the body. He said, how could we be friends? What do we have in common? It's not that he was criticizing, he was trying to figure it out. So I quoted our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada explains that the body is a temple of God. So if we understand that the body is the temple of God, the temple is the property of God, we should care for our body better than other people. But for the right purpose. Not for selfish purposes, but for God's purposes. That's what the temple is for. So you can teach people how to take care of the temple, and I'll try to teach them what to do inside the temple. And in this way, we could be a team. And we've been doing that ever since. It's very nice. So Vasudev, he was seeing this little worm as important as himself. This little worm is a child of God. And he's finding nourishment and shelter in his home, which is my body, so we place it back. Vasudev heard of Lord Chaitanya's visiting Kurma Brahman's house. So with great efforts, he went there. Just because he wanted to just give his heart to Lord Chaitanya. I'm yours. No other reason. He wasn't going to ask him to cure him of his disease. He wasn't going to ask him for anything selfish or for himself. He just wanted to go and just, I'm yours. Unconditional love. When he went there, he arrived in the morning. Lord Chaitanya had already left hours before. And he felt so sad that the opportunity of my life to personally be in the presence of God, I missed it by a few hours, and now he's gone and he's never going to come back. But Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hriday Sherjuna Tishtati. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. And from the heart of the Kurma Brahman, Lord Chaitanya was listening to his prayer, hearing his heart, and feeling his intention. So the Lord, out of his kindness, he turned around and walked all the way back hours to return to the Kurma Brahman's house. And there he saw Vasudev with this mangled, diseased, horribly smelling body of leprosy and worms crawling all over the place. The Lord very quickly approached Kurma, lifted him up, and embraced him tightly to his own body. Vasudev tried to stop him. No, don't touch me. Nobody touches me. Nobody in the world would touch him. Nobody in the world would go near him. But the Lord lifted him up, embraced him tightly. And as he embraced him, all the leprosy disappeared. And Kurma's body became healthy, and it glowed with the radiance of Lord Chaitanya's own golden complexion because he was embraced so tightly. He was perfectly healthy. It doesn't say it in the scripture, but it's quite obvious because Vasudev was so compassionately concerned with all the worms in him that when the Lord freed his leprosy, he must have liberated all of those worms. just because of their connection to Kurma, to Vasudev, all the worms probably went back to Godhead. Even to be a worm in the body of a devotee is an exalted position. When Vasudev was perfectly cured, in optimum health, no more leprosy after decades of suffering, he was very, very happy. But because he was so meek and humble, he didn't say anything, but he was thinking in his heart, this is a great test. I have received such a miraculous form of the Lord's mercy. When people see me now, they're going to know that I'm the object of such mercy of God. I could become proud. And if I become proud and think myself better than others, that I'm spiritually more fortunate than you, I'm more advanced than you, I got more mercy than you, that pride will ruin my service attitude. It will spoil my devotion. And my life is not about me. My life is about the service I can render. Better to be in a humble position of leprosy and have nothing to be proud of and only serve others than to be proud and think myself better. This is more or less the purport of what he was thinking. And Lord Chaitanya in his heart understood his anxiety. And he told him, just chant Krishna's names constantly. And try to share this gift of pure love with others. Always be in this service mood. And pride will never enter into your heart. False pride. Same instruction. Vasudev, seeing his condition, he repeated a beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He quoted Sudama Vipra. I'll briefly tell the story. Sudama was a very poor person. And he came to meet Krishna. And all he had to bring Krishna was some very, very broken pieces of rice that he begged, raw rice, chipped rice. But because of his devotion, Krishna snatched that rice. He was ashamed to give it to him when he saw Krishna was living so beautifully in Dwarka. Krishna snatched that rice and ate it and said how he had never experienced anything so tasty as that. When Krishna embraced Sudama, Sudama spoke these words that Vasudev quoted. He said, who am I? Just a poor, unqualified friend of a Brahmin. And who are you? You are the all-attractive, all-merciful, all-opulent, supreme Lord of all that exists. And yet, you have embraced, you have not only touched me, you have embraced me. Vasudev quoted that verse and said, who else can be so merciful as you? No one in society will come near me for decades. I'm so diseased, and the horrible odors emanating from my body are so beyond my control and so disgusting. What to speak of pious people? Even the most sinful people in society run away from me. And yet you have lovingly embraced me to your heart, purified me and cured me. I can understand that your unparalleled mercy is the mercy of God. after Lord Chaitanya instructed Vasudev and Kurma, gave them the highest of all wealth, he left. And Vasudev and Kurma spent the rest of the day embracing each other, just sharing with each other the great fortune they received. Machchata matkata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. This is the symptom of one who has been touched by the grace of God. Is there's no greater pleasure in our life than just to share that fortune with others. To share that fortune with other devotees, to hear from them, to speak to them, and together to share that fortune with the world. This is what Sankirtan means. It means together we share the greatest fortune of the love we've been given with the world through the congregational chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Lord Chaitanya's message is, whoever you meet, share this gift. Whether it's a woman or whether it's a man or whether it's a rich or a poor or an African or a Caucasian or a yellow or a red Indian, or whether one is Indian or Pakistani or Palestinian or Israeli or Russian or American, these are all superficial designations. We are all eternal souls. We want to share this gift of love with everyone, even if you're a groundhog. I was inspired to tell this story today by witnessing how Vaisheshika Prabhu has taken this instruction in the spirit of this story. Vasudev was merciful to the worms in his body. Lord Chaitanya taught Kurma and his whole family, be kind to everyone, try to give them the grace of God. And Vaisheshika Prabhu saw this little groundhog living in the darkness of a hole, and took compassion and threw a sweet ball. And by Krishna's grace, right in the hole. I'm still amazed. And before that, the groundhog was coming up every couple seconds. But when that sweet ball went in, he didn't come up for about a couple minutes. And when he came up, he was enlightened. Yes? That's our faith. Thank you very much. We have kirtan or questions? Or... If anyone would like to ask a question or two, and then we'll have kirtan. Is there any question?
Can we have the microphones?
Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful class. Just a small question. Is the sweet ball that you threw still there?
The one that I threw? Well, what happened is I was humbled because I really missed. But there's no disqualification for giving love of God if we're sincere. I'm not so sincere, but what I did is I went over to where that sweet ball was, and I stood about 3 inches from the hole. and dropped it right in. And the groundhog was still down there. So even for people like me, there's the chance. Yes? Thank you for asking that question. You restored my reputation. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. My question is very simple. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving instructions to everyone, like stay home and discover the Krishna love by chanting Hare Krishna, then why he chose for himself the other route?
Why he left home and took sannyas? Yeah. So that he could be free to tell all of us that we could stay home. That is supreme mercy. He sacrificed his own home to tell us that we could stay home. Otherwise, how would we have ever known? Yes? That is his love. Yes, please.
Check. What about the stages of vanaprast and sannyas, that those stages that you read in the scriptures that people are supposed to go through in their elder years?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right for just certain people? Or
it's the general standard. But in this particular chapter we're speaking, it's very clearly explained that if you really have a God-centered home, there's no need to do those things. You could pass through those stages in spirit even while at home if you have that spirit. Prabhupada very clearly explains this in these purports, expanding on Lord Chaitanya's general direction. Bhaktivinod Thakur prayed, Grihe tako vane tako Sada hari bole thako, suke duke bolo nako, barne hari nam koro re, gai gora madhu sware. Lord Chaitanya has taught all the world this. Whether you're a grihasta or a family person living with your husband or your wife and your children and you have your occupation, or whether you're a sannyasi, traveling home to home or living in the forest, just take the name of God and you will be free from all the superficial, artificial happinesses and distresses in this world, and you'll taste the real joy of eternal love within your heart. That is the power of the holy name. So now we will have kirtan. Thank you very, very much. Before the kirtan, Vaisheshika Prabhu, would you like to speak some words to everyone? This is the person who liberated the groundhog. Their microphone for Vaisheshika Prabhu. We'll have after. We'll have also.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Om.
Just today, we spoke, Maharaj and I were speaking about many topics, and one conclusion that I came to is that everything in this world is unique. Every person is unique. Every particle in the universe is unique. And every situation is also unique. And there's a tendency, I think, through intelligence and the mind to want to categorize things, and the intelligence wants to solve problems in black or white and say it has to be like this or it has to be like that. There's a tendency in any group for, well, there's definitely a pattern. There's a spectrum of beliefs starting from the most fundamental or maybe fanatical. And then there's another side of the spectrum, which is reformist and very liberal. And in any case, our approach to spiritual life, in order to be successful, must mature and be accommodating. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, arguing over issues which one has not personally realized is futile. Because after all, what are you arguing about if you haven't realized it? So that's one thing. Another thing is how important it is to have personal relationships in Krishna consciousness. In the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says, Dadati pratigrinati guhyamakyati prachyati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadviram pratilakshanam. That the way that we move forward in Krishna consciousness, or actually the very act of Krishna consciousness, is in sharing with other devotees and with others in general what we have to offer. One of the most important aspects is of Krishna consciousness is to know someone in Krishna consciousness with whom we can share our deepest thoughts or doubts and have no fear when discussing those things. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Siddhanta bolya chitana kara alash. Iha hoite sudrid manash. He said to have a mind fixed in Krishna consciousness, one must have understood Siddhanta. That means, a Siddhanta means not just what something is, but also what it isn't. And that comes about through realization, and realization comes about through personal experience and by deeply sharing with realized devotees, discussing and hearing from them. So when Radhanath Maharaj comes to the Bay Area, our tradition has been to go to the Muir Woods, a place where there are no cell phones allowed, and the atmosphere is conducive for this kind of sharing. And in that environment, to be able to discuss deeply the topics of Krishna consciousness, hear realizations, this is the fortifying process. There's nothing more edifying and nurturing than this. I can hear the philosophy from a book, but when it's discussed with those who have realized it, those who are practicing it, actually, those who are practicing will realize it in their lives, then it becomes indelible. And realization comes about. And when there's realization, then automatically my feet, my hands, my tongue, everything will move in the right direction in Krishna consciousness. So this has been a wonderful day. And then the sharing goes on, of course, because whatever we have to share, it comes as an overflow. If I'm experiencing this, as Maharaj was speaking yesterday, even a tiny drop from the ocean of Krishna's mercy, well, that could drown a whole universe. But even in Bhagavatam, Atapite Deva Padam Bhuja Daya Prashada Leshanu Grihita Evahi, just even a fragment of that, if I can have that, that's enough to overflow the heart so it can be shared with others as well. So I'm just speaking in random terms, I think, but these are a couple of thoughts I just had from a wonderful day with you today in Muir Woods and with our groundhog.
I'm also your groundhog.
And again, such great gratitude we have for you to come here and to share with us your overflowing heart from your sharing with others everywhere you go. And as we were saying today, that in that process, even we learn from everyone we talk to. So you're going everywhere, all over the world, unrestrictedly, just meeting people. I was thinking also today too, you spoke about the intention of Kurma Brahma, the more Krishna sees our actual intention from within the heart, and the more that we become sincere, then automatically Krishna does everything. He makes all arrangements for our life to be blessed. People always say, give a blessing, give a blessing. But we can create that easily in our life just by looking inward and examining our intention and our sincerity. If it's there, then just like with Vasudev the leper, automatically Lord Chaitanya comes running to us. So we pray to examine our intention and increase our sincerity so that you'll continue to give us your association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Now we're having kirtan. Would you like to dance?